Let's read together in God's Word this morning. If you have a Bible to read through together with us in Exodus chapter 12. So the second book in the Bible, Genesis is first, the second book in the Bible, Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 1 to 30. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, 'On the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. And then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in the fire, with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses, for whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which every man one must eat, and that only may be prepared for you. So you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this same day I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at even. For 7 days no leaven shall be found in your houses, since whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether it is a stranger or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened in all your dwellings. You shall eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families, and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. It will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall be when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' that you shall say, 'It is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. So the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the children of Israel went away and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did. Now, a protection or a covering needs to be effective. A covering needs to be effective. My mum, when I was young, used to tell us stories about how in the war, she and her mum, so my grandma, always would shelter under the dining room table during a German air raid. When I was little, that was fine. I imagined my mum and my grandma going under the dining room table, which is where I used to play, and that was an effective covering. But as I grew up, I began to understand why, in the terraced street where my grandma lived, there was a gap in the terraced houses. Just down the street from where she lived, on the same side of the road, a German bomb had completely flattened it. The dining room table would have been totally ineffective as a covering. In the chapter which we've just read, in Exodus chapter 12, we read of a covering. And it was totally effective for some, but the lack of it for others was totally devastating. And that effective covering that we're going to think about this morning and is in that passage is the covering of the blood of the Passover lamb. And that brings us to the third of our considerations over this Easter time, based around the exclamation of John the Baptist in John chapter 1 and verse 29, where John, seeing Jesus coming towards him and has a crowd around him, points to him and says, "Behold, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And over this Easter time, particularly on the Sunday evenings, we've been thinking about the Old Testament pictures, what are called types, a type or a picture in the Old Testament of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New, the Lamb in the Old Testament, leading to John pointing to Jesus and saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In the Old Testament, there are types. That means imperfect, incomplete pictures, but effective pictures for us to see something of the completed, perfect picture, the Lamb of God himself. When we began the service this morning, we read Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2, where it refers to Christ being an offering and a sacrifice. Paul there is referring to the lamb that was sacrificed so many, many times in the Old Testament. And he is saying, just like John the Baptist said, that Jesus is a sacrificial lamb. And where we have a picture in the Old Testament with a clear indication in the New Testament that the picture is pointing to the perfect, then we have every right to go to that passage and draw from it some help and some truth. So in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, it clearly says this. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, "Christ, our Passover lamb, is sacrificed for us." If we went to the Old Testament, to Exodus 12, and we could somehow go back in a time machine and interview somebody from that time, from the Israelite people, and say to them, what happened that night in Egypt? They would say this: our Passover lamb was sacrificed for us. The effect was we were covered from the angel of death passing over and the judgment of God. And so we have the picture, and in Jesus Christ, the perfect fulfillment. So we've considered two things so far in our little series. One, the necessity of a lamb, which we saw in the story of Cain and Abel in Genesis 4, the necessity of a lamb. Secondly, we've seen the provision of a lamb in the story of Abraham and Isaac. God himself will provide a lamb. And you can listen to those two messages on the church website. So we come to the third one this morning, the covering of a lamb. The covering of a lamb. We've considered the necessity of a lamb, the provision of a lamb, and then this morning, the covering of a lamb. So before we apply that, let's just think a little bit about the events that surround this, so we can understand the story. For some of us, it's very familiar territory. For others, perhaps not. Roger, on a Sunday evening, is going through the life of Moses at the moment. And so he and I had a chat about this, and he's dealing with the events of Moses' life. He's dealing with the example of Moses as a man of faith. He's talking about the progression of the story and its application. Today we're going to think of the lamb. Particularly our focus is going to be on the lamb, but we need to just think for a moment why it was that these events that we read about took place. So we think of Egypt, those many years ago, maybe 1500 BC, something around that time, where the people from the descendants of Jacob, who became known as Israel, that was his name, they were Israelites, were in Egypt. Pharaohs had come and gone, and there was a Pharaoh now who didn't remember those past days, wasn't concerned about this immigrant people that were there in the nation of Egypt, and therefore treated them abominably and made them build great buildings and make bricks and made them suffer and put them through hard labor. And the people cried out to God for relief and release, and God heard them. And you can read the account in the preceding chapters. Moses was chosen by God to be leader of the people alongside Aaron. And they go to Pharaoh and say, God says, let my people go. Let my people go. But Pharaoh refuses. And therefore, God acts. There are 9 plagues that take place in the preceding chapters. Just spectacular things. The plague of flies and frogs and all these different things. But we come here to chapter 11. And in verses 4, 5, and 6, we read this. Moses said, thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn of the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on the throne, even to the firstborn of the female servant who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the animals. Then there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as was not like it before, or shall be like it again. God has brought the plagues increasingly upon Egypt. Pharaoh continuously says he will not let the people go, and therefore God brings this 10th plague, or promises this 10th plague upon the people, that the firstborn of all in Egypt will die. Well, we notice that it says all in Egypt, because in verse 5 it says this, all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. That would have included the firstborn of the Israelites also. So the firstborn of every household there in that nation, every creature as well, God was going to come. And during that terrible night, God was going to Passover and the firstborn were going to lose their lives. This was God's last judgment to ensure that Pharaoh, hard of heart though he was, would let the people go. Chapter 12 and verse 12 tells us about God. We must remember that God is a perfect, just God. God says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." You know, when God speaks about judgment in the Bible, whether it be in the Old Testament or the New Testament, it makes us stop, doesn't it, and think, because one day God is going to judge this world. And every indication in small ways or large ways, the flood, Sodom and Gomorrah, this time here and other times too, show us that God is going to come one day and judge this world. We don't hide away from that. This is what the Bible tells us. It's why the gospel, the good news of the gospel, is so very, very necessary in our world today. Well, that's all we're going to say really about the narrative. We read the narrative and you can read it again. It's about God passing over because of what was done with the Lamb. And we've said, haven't we, at the beginning, that it's a picture, a clear type and picture of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, the Passover Lamb. And that's why we've been singing about him in that way this morning. I want us to consider three aspects of this matter of covering, the covering of the Lamb this morning. First is this, that the blood of the Lamb is a covering that makes a difference. It is a covering that makes a difference. We see it in the picture in Exodus 12. We see it in the reality and the perfect expression of it in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at the picture in chapter 11 of Exodus and verses 4 to 6. We've read those verses, but read again and read verse 7 this time. Chapter 11, verse 7. God says, "But against none of the children of Israel shall a dog move its tongue." That's a proverbial saying. "Against man or beast, that you may know that the Lord does make a difference between the Egyptians and Israel." So here's our first point this morning, that the whole matter of the Israelites taking the lamb, killing the lamb, the firstborn lamb, and painting its blood on the doorposts, that Sunday school story which we all remember who went to Sunday school and we've read this morning, that makes a difference. God said it would make a difference. Now that word difference is a very, very important word because it means that God was going to deal differently with this category of person to that one. Egypt and the Egyptians and the Israelites. It would make a difference. But the difference wouldn't be a national difference. The difference wouldn't be a matter of color or race or creed or anything like that. The difference was purely and only the blood of the Lamb. So please turn with me to keep that place in Exodus, but if you've got a Bible and you can do so, then have a look at Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, Paul uses the word difference. And what he says here is that in the world, all have sinned. Paul is explaining the gospel. It's like Paul sitting down with somebody and explaining why the world is as it is, why we are as we are, why sin seems to be in the world and God is sidelined and pushed out, and yet the gospel is so important. So chapters 1, 2 and 3 of Romans are Paul explaining that. He's going into detail and he uses some Old Testament passages and so on. He gets to chapter 3 and he comes to this conclusion. In his explanation, he says this, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Verse 10. Quoting an Old Testament passage from the Psalms, but he's repeating it and saying, "This is God's picture of the world. There aren't any righteous people. And in fact, he tells us in verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And in verse 22, he said this, there is no difference. There is no difference. Wherever we go in the world today, wherever we might go in history, the Bible makes it clear that there is no difference between people. Black and white, rich and poor, man and woman, boy and girl, Jew and Gentile. In the Old Testament there, Egyptian, Israelite, there is actually no difference. All have sinned. All fall short of God's standard. So Paul uses that word difference and he says there's no difference. But in our account, in the picture in Exodus chapter 12, God makes a difference. There is a difference between those who had that blood on their doorposts and on the lintels of their house and those who didn't. The difference was the blood of the slain lamb. It was the only difference that there was. So that terrible night, we read in chapter 12 and verses 29 and 30, it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon and the firstborn of all livestock. So God did as he said. But the difference was those households that had taken the lamb and killed it as was required by God and had applied that blood upon the doorposts, on the lintels of the house, those households were safe. They were covered by the blood. And it made a difference. So in Romans chapter 3, in Paul's explanation of the gospel, which stands the test of time and is true today, he says this, there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But then he gives us a picture of those where God has made a difference. And he says this, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. And Paul, in his mind's eye, in his explanation of the gospel, references back to this chapter in chapter 12 of Exodus. And he's saying this, that God has done an incredible thing. God has passed over. He has passed over those where there is a covering. And it is the covering of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. As we've been saying in this little series, that word takes away, it means covers, it means deals with, it means forgives, it means everything that that little word there in those, that passage means. Propitiation. It's a complex word. But it means all those things. And that's the difference. So this morning, here we are. We're from different countries. We're from different backgrounds. We're different ages. We're different in so many ways, but we're not. We're all the same. We're all sinners. The Bible tells us, for all have sinned. And we come short of the standard of God, the glory of God. There is no difference. And yet, there is. Because some here are sheltering, are safe, are covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've taken, just as those people in Egypt took, they have taken the lamb. And said, he is my covering. He died in my place. He covers my sins. And it's made all the difference. There's a man called Richard Burnham. He wrote this hymn. To know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. All earthly good I count but loss and triumph in my Saviour's cross. Knowledge of all this world's great things never my soul true pleasure brings. No peace but in the Son of God. No joy but through his saving blood. Thus make me willing, glorious Lamb, to suffer all things for your name, at last to be where Jesus is and rise to everlasting bliss. What made the difference for Richard Burnham was Jesus Christ being his Saviour. And that is the only thing that's going to make a difference when God, in the last day, passes over this world in judgment. The second thing is this. The blood of the Lamb is a covering that protects. That protects from judgment. What we've seen so far has helped us to understand that. It makes a difference. It protects from judgment. All the uncovered households in Egypt knew death that night. But all those who were covered were protected under the blood of the Lamb. Now, my mum and my grandma would not have been protected, would they? Under the dining room table, if a bomb had dropped upon them. But here, through this act of shedding of blood, and that covering that was made, they were protected, kept safe. Now, we began this series by quoting 1 Peter 1, verses 18 to 21. Let me quote it again for you. Knowing that you were redeemed with not with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. And Peter's referring back to this time, back in Exodus chapter 12, and he's referring back to the redemption, the purchase of our salvation. But we could not just put purchase there, we could put covering, that we are covered by the precious blood of the Lamb, without blemish and without spot. He is the one who protects us from God's righteous judgment. So when we think of the angel of death passing over, the instructions of God were this: not to look upon the house, but to look upon the blood. So A.W. Pink, in his commentary, he says this very effectively. He says, God's eye was not upon the house, but upon the blood. It might have been a lofty house, a strong house, a beautiful house. It's made no difference. If there was no blood, the judgment entered and did its deadly work. Its height, its strength, its magnificence availed nothing if the blood was lacking. On the other hand, if the house was a miserable hovel falling to pieces with age and decay, no matter if the blood was upon its doorpost. And you know, it doesn't matter what you've done in your life. It doesn't matter how righteous you might think you are. It doesn't matter how many times you've been to church or done some religious act or tried to be kind or whatever else it might be. It's not that on the last day God will look upon. It's whether you are covered by the blood of the Lamb. So as the angel of death came over, and we can't picture what it was like, but as he came over that night, he was to look purely and only for the blood. And when God comes in judgment, which he will do, and we will stand before him one day, he will look not at what you've done, or your background, or anything like that. He'll look just to see whether the Lord Jesus Christ is your protection, your covering. For God must judge the world. Every time we see God coming in judgment in the Old Testament, it is just but a taste, a touch, a picture of what it will be like at the end. And part of the gospel in love is to warn, is to make us ready, is with arms open wide and with tears in our eyes to plead with men and say, God is one day going to come in judgment. Are you covered by the blood? Is it an effective covering? And that word propitiation keeps coming up again and again in the readings about the Lamb. And propitiation, part of it is covering. That the Lord Jesus Christ protects us and covers us from the judgment of God. So we've learned this morning that in this aspect of the Lamb, that the Lamb makes a difference. The Lord Jesus makes a difference. It's the only difference that counts in the world. The Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, is an effective covering against God's judgment. And then thirdly this, the blood of the Lamb is a covering that must be applied. A covering that must be applied. Let's go back to Exodus again. And before we look at that, remind ourselves of what the key thinking was in the previous passages. So in Genesis chapter 4, when we looked at Cain and Abel, it was the necessity of a lamb. Cain slew Abel. Abel had brought a lamb. That was necessary. It was God's way. Cain grew jealous and angry and killed his brother. And he brought an offering to God. He tried to get to God in a way that God had not required. It was his deciding. And we can't decide how we come to God. We can't make up our own way. We must come God's way. And that is through the Lamb. The Lamb is necessary. When we looked at Genesis 22, the emphasis there was the provision of the Lamb. Abraham is told to go and take his son, to sacrifice him. What a thing to do. And yet he believed that somehow that God would raise him up again. But as he was taking the knife, that ram appeared in the thicket. And there was the substitute lamb to be sacrificed that day. God provided it. Abraham had told Isaac, and he said, when Isaac asked him, Father, where's the lamb for the sacrifice? He said God would provide it for himself. And that was the emphasis there, the necessity and then the provision. So what's the emphasis here? The emphasis here is the application of the lamb. The blood must be applied. So just look with me at chapter 12 and verse 3. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father. They had to take the lamb. They had to go to the flock. Maybe they didn't have very many lambs because their life was very hard. It would have been a precious thing. It was going to have to be a firstborn lamb, a male lamb. And yet they were going to have to take it. In verse 6 we're told, now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. So they had to do it. They had to kill it. Verse 7, they then were to take the blood and put it on the doorposts and on the lintel of the house where they were to eat it. They were to apply the blood. And then in verses 21 and 22, Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take, and then he gives us the detail here, a bunch of hyssop. Dip it in the blood that is in the basin, strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the house, out of the door of his house, until morning. Can you see the emphasis here is that the blood had to be
applied. It was not enough to just have a lamb. It was not enough to just take a lamb and bring it into the household. It was not enough just to kill the lamb and sacrifice it. It was not enough to eat the lamb. It was not enough to do all that which was required. What had to be done was that the blood had to be applied. It had to be effected. It had to be done according to God's entire requirement, applied to the doorposts. We were in Chester a couple of years ago, and we were going around the city, and we saw a group of school children, and they were with a man who was dressed like a Roman soldier, and they were being told what it was like in the days of the Romans in Chester, Roman city. And at the walls, all the children were given spears, not real ones, wooden ones, and shields. Well, you can imagine, children thought it was a great thing. They were told not to poke each other with the spears and that sort of thing. But one of the things that we saw, that the Roman soldier, who was an actor, was doing with the children, was teaching them that when the Romans came up to the walls of a city where there were things being thrown down at them, that every one of those soldiers, if they got their shield and put it above their heads, and the ones at the edge of the group put it at the side, they were completely protected. Now, it was not enough to have the shields. It was not enough to know the theory. What the soldier was doing with the children was saying, look, I've got to show you, we've got to do it. You've got to apply what I'm telling you. And that is exactly what happened here. There had to be the blood applied. So again, just let me quote something from A.W. Pink in his commentary. He says this very helpfully. He says, this is a personal thing. I must exercise faith. I must, by faith, take the blood and shelter beneath it. I must place it between my sins and a holy God. I must rely upon it as the sole ground of my acceptance with him. What he's saying is this: the blood must be applied. You might have come into church this morning and you might have said, well, yeah, I can see the picture, and I can see how in the New Testament, remarkably, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. I can see that. I can hear John the Baptist saying, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I can see the picture here in the Old Testament of the protection and the covering against judgment. I can see all that. I can see how the Lord Jesus Christ died to pay for the price for my sin. I can understand it. But it will not do you any good unless you apply it. To believe it. To know it's true for you. To make it personal. You know, all sorts of doubts and things come in, don't they? I wonder if again we could go back in our time machine and we could go into those households and we could have heard the conversations, maybe the young ones, maybe others saying, but Dad, why are we doing this? Is this going to work? There must have been doubts and fears about this. This was the strangest of things, wasn't it? The strangest of things, to take a lamb and then to be told we're going to have to paint this blood around the doorposts. And that's a pretty stomach-churning thing. It's a strange thing. It's an odd thing. Would it work? How would it be effective? And you know, that's just our hearts, isn't it? As we hear the gospel, as we think about these things, and as we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says in the New Testament, it's foolishness. It's nonsense, isn't it? To stand here this morning and to say, you've got to take the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and apply it to your life. You say, well, how is that going to help me? This is the gospel. And it's believed by faith. Simply taking what the Word of God says and saying, I trust and I believe. Can you think of that young boy in the household in Egypt saying to his father, Dad, will this work? And the father saying to him, Son, trust and obey. And that's what comes down the centuries to us. And that is what the gospel is. It is to trust and believe and obey and apply the blood. A great lesson was learned here all those years ago. Because in Exodus 12, we read through the whole of the chapter where Moses is told that this sacrifice, this time would be remembered every year by the Israelites from then on. It would be called the Feast of the Passover. And so for 1,500 years, they took year by year a lamb and reenacted these things to remind them that it was effective, that it did work, and that the covering of the blood saved them from judgment. You see, it has for us the certainty of its effectiveness in its picture. And the testimony of Christians throughout the centuries that the Lord Jesus Christ has been their Saviour as they've applied the precious blood of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Just finish with this. There's a young woman, girl, teenager called Charlotte. She was visiting some friends and in London, and at the house was a very famous preacher. At the meal table, the preacher said to her, Charlotte, are you a Christian? And she was quite offended by that. She thought that was intruding in her personal space, as it were. What right had he? He could preach that in the pulpit, but to ask her that at a meal table, that was really not on. And she told him. And he apologized and said, I'm sorry, but I always want to speak a word for my Savior. 3 weeks went by. And Charlotte met this preacher again in totally different circumstances. And when they met again in the home of a mutual friend, Charlotte said to him, ever since you asked me if I was a Christian, I've not been able to get away from it. And I have been seeking to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. But I need you to tell me how to come. How to come to Christ. And this is what that preacher said to her. He said this, just come as you are. Just come as you are. And that is how we are to come. We're to come as we are. We might have lots of questions, lots of thoughts, lots of things we don't understand, but we're just to come as we are, and we're just to come under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to say, Lord, I believe in this picture you showed in the Old Testament. It tells me, it speaks to me of the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ as a covering for me, an effective covering. Please help me to trust you and come just as I am. Well, Charlotte's brother became a pastor, became a preacher. And later on, Charlotte wrote a hymn about her experience of how she became a Christian. And Well, her brother said, I've preached many sermons, and I trust that some of them have been effective. But the hymn that my sister has written has probably been more effective than all my sermons put together. And we're going to sing that hymn. It's by Charlotte Elliott. And Charlotte Elliott became a Christian, and she came just as she was. And that's how we're to come this morning, just as I am. Let's sing this last hymn together. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. So here is a hymn which applies for us exactly what we've been saying this morning and tells us how we can come to be safe, covered, and under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's sing it together.
Yeah.
Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us until that great day when we see the Lamb upon the throne, and then we are with him and like him, and we will worship him forever and forever. Please, Lord, make that difference amongst us this morning. Cover us with your precious blood. Help us to know, Lord, that it is effective, and may we trust you and know you for now and for eternity as the Lamb of God slain for us, our Saviour. In his name we pray. Amen.